Carla, what a marvelous greeting. My goodness, we've got to get you back to preach. Wonderful. It's a lot harder for our Jewish friends to be with us in our worship service. They're so gracious about it and wonderfully joyous about it than it is for Christians to be in a Jewish worship. And we thank you for your graciousness in being here, Rabbi, and all of your people so wonderfully represented. We have, in fact, enjoyed this congregational partnership. You're our closest church in town. And we've enjoyed it for decades. And you may not know, I'm told, I wasn't here, it was before I arrived in 1989, that your congregation worshiped in our old building over at 53rd and Elgin. And we learned a lot from you about our faith that we inherited from you. And the Torah scrolls were kept there in an ark that the church arranged. It's a beautiful part of our story. Dr. Epstein, you may know some of that story. And all of your rabbis have been friends of mine. And I told some of your people a few moments ago that I am privileged to be Baptist preacher in residence at Congregation Temple Bethel in Fort Worth. I preached there three times last fall with Rabbi Brian Zimmerman, who is one of my dearest friends, Rabbi Ralph Mecklenburger, one of my dearest friends. I saw Ralph on Friday, and I could go on and on and on about our wonderful partnership that we have, our two congregations, about the incredible sort of seamless garment of faith, in a way, is the way we look at it, and we learn from each other. We might be different strands, threads in that garment, but it makes for a beautiful tapestry, and just superb. Thanks be to God, indeed the true glory of God. In this gospel lesson, the Greeks come to Philip. Philip is the connector of the disciples. He's from Bethsaida. He is the one you will remember in John's gospel who says three simple words about Jesus. He says, come and see. He doesn't give the Westminster Catechism when people inquire about Jesus. He doesn't give Calvin's Institutes. It's not Karl Barth's Church Dogmatics with all 24 volumes. It is a three-word response. Come and see. And I love that. That has a lot of integrity and honesty to it, doesn't it? I don't know the mysteries of the faith, but I know some good people in a good congregation. Come and see. And it puts the responsibility back in the location where it belongs. Because as our Alcoholics Anonymous friends say, we worship the God of our own understanding. And in Philip brought Jesus, brought these Greeks to Jesus. And the Greeks sort of represent a Gentile community. I don't know a whole lot about Greek philosophical culture, but in my understanding, what the Greeks tried to do was put the meaning of life into a unified sort of seamless theory. And all the philosophers wanted to generalize truth and wanted to make truth a universal sort of general principle. And they employed human reason and human intellect. Along come the Hebrews' understanding of the faith, which in my reading, Rabbi, is very different from that. Very divergent from that philosophical approach. The Hebrews came along and understood God through a scandal of particularity. Here is a God who has a personal relationship with God's people. And those names are used quite often. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As Pascal said and wrote down in his encounter of faith and sewed into the lining of his garment so it would always be near his heart, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not the God of the philosophers. And so what Philip is doing with the Greeks is bringing them to Jesus. Not a general sort of unifying, universal principle, but a particular person who occupies a particular place with a particular people. Jesus was born a Jew. Jesus died a Jew and lived his entire life a Jew in that Jewish context. And thank God, now our New Testament scholars are increasingly Jewish scholars who remind us that Jesus is located in a Jewish cultural and religious context at a particular point in time. The scandal of particularity. Now, this is something that's a little offensive to the modern philosophical mind, that people like you and me. Because we want things in a general principle, and we are glad for human reason, and we're really grateful for the intellect and the rationalism that guides our thoughts and our discovery about what is real and what is true in life, all our epistemological quests, how do we know what we know, and the search for meaning. We're glad for that. But we as people of faith are scandalized by particularity. We come together out of a particular people and out of a particular revelation, and we celebrate that. The true glory of God, it seems to me, is what I'm getting at for the next few minutes. Is you. Jeremiah puts it this way. Now, this new thing that God is doing in the world. And I thought Kelly described it to our children beautifully. Is going to be written on the tablets of your heart. You will know him. All of you will know him. And the location is so particular, it is precise and as personal as you. So Philip brings these Greeks to Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And the next passage is Jesus gives a lecture. And there are at least three themes that come out of this lecture. I don't understand these words. There's a lot about the Gospel of John in particular that I don't really understand. John is writing for a sort of a Greco-Roman audience, and it's very different from the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew and Mark and Luke. And there's a lot of sort of lofty language to it. It's editorialized. It's stylized. It's beautiful language. It's very thick, sort of florid language. There are images, particularly of darkness and light. We didn't get to that, those last verses in our lesson this morning. But Jesus strikes three themes: separation, service, and death. And he highlights those three themes as the way of understanding the glory of God. Well, this is some glory. It's very different from Caesar's glory. Caesar's all about it living forever, having his name emblazoned in the, you know, in neon lights forever. Service, everybody in the kingdom serving him. That's the way he understands service. Separation, no, he is large and in charge and connected to everybody. And the gospel writer comes along and turns all that on its ear. And you might think of an inverted pyramid as a metaphor. The glory of God has to do with an acorn falling from a tree. And there is a separation and a death. And the only way there can be a new oak tree is for that acorn to separate off from the old oak tree. The glory that is in your heart, not about what you're going to get, Not about your standing, your money, your position, your point of view, your political party. It's about what you give. Your money, your position, your standing. Leaving your political tribe and crossing over to the other guy's tribe. And giving your presence and your listening ear to her. And you do that and do that until you give yourself away and you die. We're in the season of Lent right now. And it's not exactly about having your best life now. It's about giving your life away unto suffering, unto sacrifice, and unto death. And I know it's not much fun. Everybody wants to go immediately to Easter Sunday. And we don't want to do this discipline of Lent. And we sure don't want to do Good Friday. This passage comes right before Jesus' wonderful sacrament of foot washing, where all of his teaching culminates in this act of a slave. And he takes off his outer garment and he girds himself up with a towel and he gets a wash basin and he performs the act of a common slave. He washes the feet of his disciples and he says, unless you allow me to wash your feet, you can have no part of me. But in the quietness of our heart, at the leadership and behest of the divine spirit, the witness of the divine spirit, you know this is true. Every mother in this congregation knows it's true. And you get up in the middle of the night multiple times, sleepless, exhausted, and you go and feed your baby, and you do it again, and do it again, and do it again. You give yourself away. A little harder for men to do that. One of the many reasons the leadership of the church ought to be turned over to women. Do I hear an amen? But men know too, in our heart of hearts, that when we divest ourselves in this spiritual divestiture, and we give ourselves away, that there is something that we discover. It's this irony, it's this curious, topsy-turvy, sort of upside-down world that Jesus describes. If you search for your life, if you want your life, if you grab for your life, you're going to miss life. If you give your life away in service and go the extra mile, in generosity, in self-giving love, you will find your life. Even unto death. We might think of the separations in our own lives. Some of us have been separated in marriage. We have been through the pain of divorce. Some of us have had loved ones to separate from us. They have died and we're left to live. We have to find a new expression, a new generation of living. We've had a separation experience that we've gone through in recent months in the life of this church, where we have lost pastoral leaders very dear to us in a situation that has been stressed and strained and kind of some cruel and a very, very difficult circumstances that we've gone through. And so the question is, are we going to live after this? What is this separation presenting to us that will give us a new opportunity for life? New expressions of service. Will we get our act together in such a way that we don't base everything on the glory of the past, because my sisters and brothers, I've got a news flash for you. Whatever the glory of our past pales with the true glory of God that He has for this church in the future. And it's about you. The particularity of you. But only in this way. Only in that you find your place of service and sacrifice on behalf of everybody else in the life of this church. I've had a glorious Sunday today. You know why? After early service, there was a friend of mine that came through the door, has not been a part of Sunday school in recent weeks, and said, "I'm here to answer the call to serve our children as Sunday school teachers because I've heard the call. And I know we need teachers. And I wanted to shout hallelujah. But I'm a Baptist instead of a Pentecostal preacher, so I didn't." Because the future of this church has a lot to do with children, doesn't it? And with youth, doesn't it? And all of us, all of the adults in this church who have all of our vaunted theories about what the healing of this church is, I've got a scandal of particularity for us. How about going and changing a baby's diaper? You want to know what the future of this church is? Go do that. You want to know the reason I do public education advocacy? I'm going to tell you, pure and simple. Because those brilliant teachers take our poorest children and they surround them with superactive love. And those preschool teachers take those little kiddos who have accidents in their britches and restore those kiddos to dignity, and nobody knows about it. The governor doesn't know about it. No legislator knows about it. We don't know about it. God knows about it. That's the glory of God. And when our political class condemns those teachers, they're not going to do it without hearing from me. So this church is going through a death, in a way. It's hard to generalize about where we are because there's all kinds of diversity about where we are. Yes. And there's all kinds of reactions and people with all kinds of different shapes and sizes of emotionality about all of this, but we're going to have a life, and it's going to be a good life, and it's going to be a new generation, a new covenant, if you will, and it's going to be written right here. I love what the prophets say. The whole program is going to be moved out of the temple into the synagogue, if you will. It's going to be congregations of people who are seeking to do God's will and God's work all across the planet. It's not going to be institutionally defined. It's going to be personally defined. And it's going to be personally defined by the scandal of particularity that is you. And so it ain't about the new preacher coming and solving all our problems. It's about me and about you. Martin Luther King said this: "You want to be important, wonderful. You want to be recognized, wonderful. You want to be great, wonderful. Go serve somebody. Because we've been given a new definition of service." I want to use a metaphor for just a minute or two that I think most of us can relate to. I believe this process of repentance, of a brain transplant, we got to get rid of our old way of thinking and we got to put on a new way of thinking. The Greek word is repentance, and it doesn't mean anything, any kind of guilt or shame. It means literally change of mind. It means a new way of thinking, a new covenant, a new understanding of the way things work. I call it a brain transplant. I think that the process that many of us have experienced in that is individual psychotherapy. Now, I've been noodling on it this week, where we sit down with a trained therapist, a trained psychological professional, and we have a process of separation. Things that we need to separate from, maybe our wife, maybe our husband. I do believe that divorce is God's will in a lot of circumstances, so that we can live again. A new way of practicing, of service. Go get you a new program to practice. And then how are you going to live again? Some things need to die and be resurrected. And this is what God is doing in the life of our church. I think all the hard work that we're doing, all the hard work that the search team is doing, that the leadership team is doing, that the deacons are doing, all the questions that we're asking and all the pain that we're carrying and all the confusion, and we're having a service. Annie told us about it 2 weeks from yesterday. And my friend George Mason is going to be here. I'm going to be here. We're going again to have a process of letting some think, getting some, being honest, some separation from some service, some death, if you will, so that we can rise to a brand new life. And somehow, y'all, this is found, we believe, and we're in this room to celebrate it, in the person of Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. The scandal, the particularity. Karl Barth was a theologian that influenced me deeply. He did write Church Dogmatics, volume after volume after volume. Ted Dodds led us in a Karl Barth reading group years ago. John Updike said that Karl Barth's theology, reading his theology, Updike wrote this in a review of Barth in the New Yorker, was like riding wave upon endless wave of seamless prose. He was asked at the end of his career in a lectureship in, at the University of Chicago in 1962 to summarize the essence of biblical faith. A student asked him that. And as the story is told, he puffed on his pipe a few moments. He kind of disappeared behind a cloud of pipe smoke. And he reappeared and he said something like this, and I have researched this and it's corroborated. He said something like this: the essence of biblical faith is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The scandal of particularity. Your service. Somebody said, I showed up early to get the coffee going today. Your service. Somebody was with the babies. Your service. Somebody locks up, last person to leave on Sunday. I see Stan. Your service. Well, how's that going to heal this church? Everybody sweeping in front of their own doorstep, and the whole world will be clean. Let it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all the people of God said, amen. Wonderful tradition to extend the invitation to receive God's love. If today you would confess Jesus as your long-awaited one, as your Christ, the only one for you, we invite you to come. If today you would unite with this church, we invite you to come. You know what the marching orders are. Go find a place of service. It isn't anything, this isn't a spectator sport, y'all. You come here, we're going to put you to work. We need you. We want you. God loves you, and so do I.